after infidelity, a lot of people assume that the triggers people will suffer with will be pretty predictable. They think that it makes sense that if they see their partner out in public, or if they see the affair partner, or if they see a text message or a physical reminder, a hotel that they stayed at with them, a restaurant they used to go to, that these are the types of things that would trigger them, or if their partner comes home late, for example. And yes, those things can absolutely be triggering, but they're not the only thing that can start to trigger you after infidelity. It can be the most random things. You could be watching an old rerun of a TV show that you used to like, and you suddenly notice more than you did before that cheating is a part of the plot. A character has an affair, someone hides texts, someone lies to their partner, someone tries to cover something up, say it doesn't mean anything, or just even the general idea of someone on a TV show living a secret life. And you'll know that it's more of a trauma reaction as opposed to just not liking it when there's that feeling of your chest tightening, your stomach dropping, your jaw clenching, your mind starts racing, and then this overwhelming disgust or anger or sadness that compels you to just turn the show off because you can't handle it. And usually there'll be this part of you that thinks, well, why am I even reacting like this? This isn't about me. This is just fictional. Or maybe it's with music. No, there might be a song that you used to love. It used to make you feel fun and confident, alive. And now you hear one lyric and you recognize just how much this idea of betrayal and infidelity has been normalized through song lyrics. Maybe it's a lyric about taking someone's man or taking someone's woman, or just about sneaking around, cheating, lying, being chosen for someone else, or making someone look stupid. And suddenly it doesn't feel fun or lighthearted or casual at all anymore. Somehow it feels threatening and personal. Or maybe you'll even hear the word cheat being used in different contexts, like someone refers to a cheat code or a cheat meal, or someone says they cheated on a test. Someone jokes about cheating at a board game. And even though your brain knows what they're referring to, your brain goes back to the infidelity. Your body reacts the same way. And then you're dealing with two things. You're dealing with the surface layer reaction, and then you're also dealing with the second layer of, well, this is ridiculous. Why is this bothering me? Why can't I just listen to music like a normal person? How long will this happen? Will I ever be okay? Can I just go one day without spiraling? And then why does all this have so much power over me? If this is happening, I understand that you are not doing this to be dramatic or to try to get attention. And this isn't just an issue of being overly sensitive. This is what happens when betrayal and infidelity turn ordinary life into something that feels like a minefield where you're having to navigate what is safe and what isn't. And this is one of the cruelest things about infidelity. Is that it turns ordinary objects, places, songs, and even phrases into triggers that just create this background of being cautious and wary. And I think you know that the world is not actually more dangerous than it was before, but you are a lot more aware of how dangerous things are, and you're a lot more reminded of awful things that have already happened. And regardless of what is actually true in the moment, your nervous system is just on red alert, ready for something else horrible to go on. And so it's looking in everything for a hidden danger. So before betrayal, a cheating plot in show was just drama. It was just fiction. It might have been in bad taste, but it didn't mean anything to you. But after betrayal, those things get linked to the memories of being lied to, replaced, humiliated, abandoned, blindsided, or made to question your reality. Triggers don't work through logic. They work through association. Your conscious mind can say all day long, this is just a song. But your nervous system is saying, this reminds me of danger. Your conscious mind can say, this is just a storyline. But in your body, it's like, it's not someone else's story, it's your own. And you're suddenly remembering it in full detail. In other words, the trigger is not about the thing that you are perceiving. It's about the emotional imprint attached to that idea. And so a song lyric about, I'm going to take your partner, is more than just annoying. It's touching on a part of you that was made to feel replaceable. It hits the part of you that starts to question, was I really that easy to just discard? Or a cheating plot on TV where you see one partner being deceived, hits the part of you that remembers that your relationship is not what you thought it was and you were blindsided. It hits the part of you that is reeling from having your reality split. And so most people, they try to heal this by just reminding themselves of the truth. And there is some value to that. You can say out loud what the truth is, but it's in your nervous system. It's in your body. It's in your emotions. It's not something that can just be reasoned with directly. And so the second strategy people often try is to just avoid it. And there is some value in that too. You know, avoiding things that trigger you can be useful for just maintaining peace of mind. But that's not ultimately healing most of the time. Because what happens if you just avoid, if every trigger becomes something for you to run from, your world just starts to get really small. You lose songs that you used to love. You avoid shows you used to enjoy. You stop watching certain movies. You stop going to certain locations. And suddenly you're letting the person who cheated on you steal far more than just the relationship. They're stealing your ability to just be happy and function in the world. So that's why real healing matters. Not because you should force yourself to be fine or force yourself to just push through every trigger, but because you deserve to get your world back. You deserve to be able to hear a song and decide whether you like it instead of feeling hijacked by it and being able to separate some of the weird messaging that might be in there from what it means to you and whether you're going to choose to like it in spite of that message or not. And a lot of what people try to do, if they recognize, okay, I really do need to heal from this, they'll breathe through it, they'll try to ground themselves, they'll remind themselves that it's not happening now, they'll journal about it, they'll challenge the thought, they'll replace it with a positive belief. And some of these things can help in the moment. They can help you regulate. They can help you get through the next few minutes. They can help you not spiral as intensely. But in my experience, the deeper healing usually does not come from just managing the symptom and getting through that exact moment. The symptom isn't the root. The trigger is not the root. The song is not the root. The TV show is not the root. The word cheat is not the root. The root is the emotional meaning that your unconscious mind attaches to those things. And that root can be different for every person. For one person, that root might be the humiliation. For another person, it might be related to abandonment. For another, it might be about feeling replaceable. For someone else, it might be the powerlessness. For another person, it might be about not feeling protected. And for all of those, there are webs of background that go into those. Just talking about not feeling protected, that can go back to feelings you had in childhood. That can go back to times when you felt like nobody in the rest of your life was willing to fight for you, when you were always fighting for other people. It could go back to multiple different romantic relationships in the past. What I'm trying to articulate is not what the specific answer will be for you, but to give you a sense of the depth. This goes extremely deep. And if you are looking for a simple tactic to get you through the day, those can help, but they're not going to be the thing that gets you all the way to the other side where this no longer happens. You can spend your whole life managing your reactions, or you can take the time, typically a couple months, to do the deeper work. One way I sometimes explain it to people, they ask me, can I ever just go back to how things were? And the answer is absolutely not. This wrecked that person, absolutely beat the crap out of them. From there, you will only be way worse than you were before or way better. It forces you to a new rock bottom, and you either choose to rebuild with a whole new approach to life, a whole new sense of who you are, a whole new approach to what trust and strength and love even mean, one that is better and more resilient and more mature, or you wallow trying to become the old version of you again for the rest of your life. Those are the only two options. So it's not easy work by any means. And it's never the same for two people. Ultimately, you're not looking for a simple solution to how to stop being triggered by songs. You need to start looking for whatever that song means to your own mind, deep down, and healing that. You're not just healing being triggered by TV shows. You're healing a lifetime of patterns that have been deeply abused by the betrayal, that have now been drugged to the surface, and that you now have the unfortunate but great opportunity to work on. So some very simple questions to get you thinking kind of the right direction are things like, what does this represent to me? What part of me still feels unsafe? What emotional wound is this trigger touching? In other words, get curious about the trigger instead of immediately searching for a solution. When you get curious, you can find the wound, and the wound is what actually needs the attention. And so what would it even look like to heal? Healing is when your body no longer treats the reminder as if it were the original threat. It doesn't mean that you never remember it. It doesn't mean that it never even stings a little, but it means that it's just a fact. It's just something that happened in your life. The intensity behind the emotion and the trigger can be drained. The goal isn't to forget, but to be free. Sometimes the most beautiful sign of healing is neutrality. Not excitement, not being overly forgiving. Just, it is what it is. No thought, no trigger owning you. And at that point, the song can just be a song. The show can just be a show. The word cheat can just be another word. Not because those things don't matter, but because they no longer control you.